Let's just pray and commit our time in God's word together. Father, we do want to thank you for your word. And we do commit ourselves to your word now and ask that you really would open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We pray for that precious anointing of your Holy Spirit upon both the speaker and the listeners. But we want to be a people that hearken to the word of God, to hear what you say and to do it. So Father, would you help us now, we pray, particularly as we look at this new series in Hebrews 6. Father, we do want to be a people that have a very solid foundation for our Christian lives. And we want that for the assembly as well, that as an assembly we will be founded very firmly upon these principles. Amen. Well, for those of you who weren't here last week, we began a new series and Simon introduced this whole issue of the foundational principles that we read in Hebrews chapter 6. But we're going to read again from the end of chapter 5, which we did last week. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, that Melchizedek, it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about baptisms or washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Well, just to remind you that we heard last week, some of the things. But one of the things we heard was that it is absolutely vital as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going to press on to maturity, the foundation has to be right. It's impossible for us to come to a place of maturity that the Lord wants for every believer if that foundation isn't right in our lives. And I will say that's the truth for an assembly as well. An assembly, a fellowship of believers, cannot come into all that God has for them if the foundation isn't what it should be. So when we look at these things, the application, yes, is to us as individuals, but it's to us as a fellowship as well. Because God has purposes for us, for you individually, for us as a fellowship, but they cannot be met. We cannot get to them. We cannot fulfill them unless that foundation is first complete and right. Just think of your little children, if you have little children, or the little children you're acquainted with. Just imagine if they never grew up. Well, perhaps we don't want to imagine that, but that would be awful, wouldn't it, perhaps? Or might be good for some. But actually, they'll never fulfill the purposes you have for them. Or the ambitions, perhaps, you have for them. How much more for our Father in heaven? What purposes he has for us. And he gets so grieved when he sees us remaining as children. Foundation incomplete. Unable to press on to maturity because of where we are. So, friends, can I really encourage you to take heed, to hearken to these words, not only today, over the coming weeks, when we look at this foundation, if you are hungry for all that God has for you, if you really want to press on into maturity, then give heed to what God says. Because he wants each one of us not to remain as children, not to remain in a place where we are not mature. Because a child cannot do things that an adult can do. It's the same spiritually. If we are spiritually little children, we cannot be entrusted with things that a spiritual adult can be. And God is not able to put into our hands the things he wants to put into our hands. So God wants us instead to grow up spiritually, to press on into maturity, so that he can entrust us with things. What a privilege that is, isn't it? That God wants to work with us. Or he wants us to work with him, better said. But to do that, to do everything that he has for us in mind, that we need to be those that are pressing on into maturity. And Simon also mentioned last week that little thing, the little few words at the end of verse 11. It is hard to explain to you, you become dull of hearing. One of the things that stops us pressing on to maturity more than anything else is an inability to hear what God is saying. To hear what the Word of God is saying. So let's guard against that dullness of hearing. We can lose our sense of spiritual hearing if we're not careful. There are many reasons for that. We haven't got time to go into that. But crucial and critical to read all these principles and elements we are looking at in the foundation is our ability to hear what God is saying. Because the moment we stop hearing what God is saying, lots of these things will be incomplete in our lives. So let's press on then to the first element, if you like, in this foundation. Note that it is one foundation. It's not lots of foundations here, friends. It's one foundation made up of all these elements. And the first thing we read is a repentance from dead works. Now, if you or I had been writing this, we might have written repentance from sin, which, of course, is critical. But you see, the writer to the Hebrews is assuming that's already done. He's not writing to unbelievers, he's writing to believers. And therefore, repentance is a given here. Those that are receiving this letter, that are reading it, have already repented of their sin. Now, of course, there's an ongoing repentance of sin. But again, he's assuming that as believers, we are sensitive to when sin is around in our lives and we'll deal with it. That should be a given, friends. Even before the foundation, if you like, we cannot start our Christian walk until we have repented of sin. Until we've dealt with that. But I think it's so instructive here that the Lord is saying it's repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. And we'll look a little bit more at that in a second. But what about this word repentance? Well, I'm sure some of you or many of you will know this already. The Greek actually means a change of mind or a change of purpose. God wants to bring us to a change of mind, a change of purpose, which leads to a change of action, a change of life. A turning, if you like, from the way that we were going and a turning to God. A repentance unto God, one passage puts it in the Bible. We are turning away from things, sin in particular, at the beginning of our Christian life, and as we go through our Christian life, when things beset us, then we are to repent of that, turn away from that. And God can help us do that, of course. And we'll look at a bit more of how repentance comes in a moment. But it is critical that we understand that there needs to be a change. A change in the way we think. A change in our purpose. And that can only come about as God gets hold of our lives. You can sit there until you're blue in the face and try and repent of things. But if you're not right with God, if you're not really, if the Holy Spirit is not at work within you, then you're not going to do it. It's like those people that make New Year's resolutions every year. They get beyond January the 2nd and it's gone. It doesn't matter a jot, you're not going to do it. There are certain things in our lives that are so entrenched that only God, the Holy Spirit, can help us to repent of them. And we need his help, friends. And we need to recognize that. It's no good trying to do it through gritted teeth. It's not going to happen. We need to know the power of God's Holy Spirit, his enabling to do that repenting. Well, what about these dead works? Because it's so important that we, you know, understand what they are and how to recognize them. Well, let me give you perhaps a definition. This is my definition. Perhaps you can think of a better one. It's anything that we can be engaged in that is not initiated and ordered by God. Anything that you and I are engaged in that is not initiated by God or ordered by him is a dead work. There's no life in it. There's no life in it. And we'll have a look in a second how we can recognize these things. Because it's important, isn't it? If we don't recognize what a dead work is, all we do is continue in it. And we remain in that place of immaturity. So we need to recognize them. There's a verse in Proverbs 14, verse 12 that says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. You see, there are many things that can seem right to do as believers. You see, a dead work could be something that's even good. It could be something that's charitable. Oh, how we see that. I come across this every day where I work. Lots of charitable events. Lots of things being put on. But almost all of them are dead. There's no life in them. You know, you could give your money away for the rest of your life. Every day, let's go and give as much as I've got to the first person I meet or the person in. It's a dead work if God isn't in it, friends. Don't be fooled into thinking that because something is good, there's life in it. That's not it, friends. And sadly, we are in that where we do things that seem right according to us, or even in the eyes of the world. But there is absolutely no life in it whatsoever. It doesn't benefit me in the least. It doesn't benefit the person in the least that I'm doing the good thing to. So we need to understand, friends, that dead works can include good things. It can include charitable things. It can include creative things. You know, some of us are very creative, aren't we? I've heard this said, tragically, many times. Wouldn't it be great if so-and-so became a Christian? They're such a creative person. Well, that kind of creativity has to die. It has to be laid down. And if God wants to take it up, he'll take it up and use it, of course. But it has to be put at the foot of the cross first. Creativity does not mean life. Dead works can include things like that as well. So we need to watch out, friends, that we don't get the wrong idea of what a dead work is. Just because something might be good, it doesn't mean there's life in it. So how do we recognise a dead work? I've got a list of things here we're going to go through. Well, the very first thing to say is, if it's a dead work, there is no life in it. There is no life in it whatsoever. And that, to me, says that the presence of God is not there. God is absent from that work. And I would say that for us as the church as well. It's no good us doing things if God's not involved in it. It's no good with us coming up with a great idea if the Lord isn't central to it, isn't initiating it. You see, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I hear him saying. I only speak what I hear him saying. Well, friends, if that's good enough for the Lord Jesus, it should be good enough for us. Why do we think we can be different? Why do we think we can do what we think is right? When the Lord Jesus himself wouldn't do anything unless he heard the Father saying it and doing it. So that's where we need to be, friends. There's a tragic verse in Judges 16. I know this is a slightly different take on what a dead work is, but I think it includes this. It was a dead relationship. See, relationships can be dead if the Lord isn't in them. So be careful with your friendships, with your relationships. If the Lord's not in it, it's dead. And when you deal with it. The example I have in mind is from Judges 16. Well, let's look at it, Judges 16 in the Old Testament. Keep going back before Samuel and Ruth, and you'll get to Judges. This, of course, is about Samson, a man greatly used of God, but a man with some weaknesses, particularly regarding the fairer sex. He couldn't resist falling for the I don't know whoever it was, the blonde bombshell from Gaza, or whatever it was. And so he fell for Delilah. And this was a dead relationship because God was not in it. And look what it led to in the end. In verse 20, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. She nagged him day after day after day after day about what the secret of his strength was. And he made up this and he made up that, all the time getting nearer to the truth. Eventually, he gave way and he told. And, of course, we know what happened. His hair was cut off and he lost his strength. And when he awoke, she woke him from his sleep and said, I will go out, he said, and I, as at other times, verse 20, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. One of the most tragic verses in the Bible. He didn't know that God had departed from him. Friends, we need to know when God has departed from anything we're involved in. We need to know when God is not involved in a relationship that we're involved in. When he is not present there. When he's not giving his agreement to, if you like. We need to be those that are sensitive to that as believers. So the first thing then is no life. Microphone's falling again. What about another thing that should tell us that something is dead? There's no life in it. Well, there would be no rest, no ease. See, when God gives us things to do, there's a right kind of striving and a right kind of effort that we put into it. It doesn't lead us to being absolutely whacked out, dead on our feet, if you like, spiritually barren because of the things that we're doing. You see, there's a precious rest and a precious ease, if you like, that God has for us. There's a wrong kind of striving that we can get involved in. And if it's a dead work that we're involved in, there will be a wrong kind of striving. And we'll find ourselves without any rest whatsoever. Look what it says just back from Hebrews 6 in Hebrews chapter 4. For the one who has entered his rest, that's Jesus' rest, has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. We need to rest from our own works. Anything you or I do outside of the will of God is dead. There's no life in it. Now, this particular letter obviously was addressed to Jewish believers who were trying to, I suspect, use something of the law to get justified before God and using the law to find favour with God. And we can be a bit like that as well, even if we're not Jewish believers. We can try and do things to curry favour with God. But friends, it's a dead work. We're to cast ourselves completely upon the mercy and the grace of God and look to nothing else. So let's make sure that we do cease from our own works, from our own efforts. They have no place in the kingdom of God. Thirdly, whose glory is your work resulting in? If the glory is going to you or anybody else, I wouldn't hesitate to say that that is a dead work. God is not going to give his glory to another. He is not going to give his glory to a man. And we need to be very careful, friends, that if we're doing something, we are not taking all the glory. Yes, God will perhaps give us an exalting in his way, but he will not glorify us above himself, friends. The glory should go to him. So there's the third thing we should look for. Who is getting the glory? Fourthly, John 15 verse 16 talks of this. Let's just look at that. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. You did not choose me, verse 16, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain or last, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So the fourth thing is, if we're involved in something where God is present, where God is at work, where the life of Christ is there, then there will be evidence for it. There will be fruit. Fruit in our lives, fruit in others possibly as well. But there will be fruit. And that fruit will be lasting fruit. It will be fruit that remains. God will be doing something that only he can do. So that's another thing we should be looking for. What about the fruit of the things we're involved in? Is there fruit in it? If there's no fruit in it, then it's a dead work. And it's something we need to repent of. We need to turn from. We need to change our minds about and turn away from. And leave it down. Put it down. Leave it alone. Walk away from it. There's no place in your life or my life. And it certainly is not going to do us any good whatsoever. And it will hinder us pressing on to maturity, of course. Stopping us getting to the place that God has for us. So there's that lack of fruit. And then in Hebrews 5, we read this earlier, Hebrews 5 again. And verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. God wants us to be in a place where our spiritual senses are so attuned to what he is doing, to what he's saying, to how he's feeling, we will be aware that something is not right. Something is dead. Something that we are involved in has no life in it, and we're to get rid of it. And how do we get those spiritual senses attuned to what the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to us, to his checks? When he's checking us in a matter, do we sense that he's checking us, or do we just dismiss it? Are we able to sense that? Well, what does it say? Our spiritual senses are trained to discern good and evil, so we can have them trained to discern what is good and evil, what's alive and what's dead. It comes through practice. We need to practice. Practice what? Well, this is all to do with the Word of God. And hearing what God has to say to us. And friends, again, we stress this so often from the front, and we will go on stressing this until our last breath. If we ignore the Word of God, if we neglect the Word of God, if we put it aside, if we are not training ourselves up in this Word, our spiritual senses will remain dull, we will remain dull of hearing, and we will not be able to recognize a dead work. We won't be able to sense when the Holy Spirit is seeking to check us. So we need our spiritual senses trained to discern these things. And the primary way that God will train us and hone our senses, if I can put it like that, is by us getting into God's Word. And I don't mean just now and again, friends. I mean daily. Getting into the Word of God. There's only one counterbalance to all the rubbish we hear in the world today. There's only one counterbalance to what the world is preaching to you and to me on a daily basis. And that's hear what God is saying. To counter it. Because otherwise we'll just lap it all up. And we'll just think like the world thinks. And we will not be able to discern what is a dead work. See, so much of the problems in the church is that we don't discern dead works. We get involved with the latest activity, the latest great idea, and particularly when it's come from a sort of worldly attitude, and often it does. I've been in places where that's been the case. Well, how would the world do this? What's the world thinking about this? Let's do that. Let's try this. There's no life in it. Unless God is involved in it, friends. So we need to be able to discern that. And the discernment comes as we get prayerfully into God's Word. And it's true for us as an assembly as well. God's Word is central to the way that an assembly should be functioning, but also the prayer meeting. Because this is, as we seek God together, God can put those checks and those balances in to the body through one and another. And the Lord's done that here for us. I mean, a couple of occasions I can remember. I mean, one occasion when we had a very generous gift from somebody who's not in the fellowship anymore. And we put it aside and said, we should use this for a future building. It was a sizable sum. And then we found that the Lord was withdrawing something of the finances. And we had to seek him together. And as we sought the Lord together, the Lord made it very clear to us this was a dead work. This is something we shouldn't be doing. And we had to give it all away. And the Lord led us to do that. And the Lord wonderfully opened the gates again. You see, when we are living in obedience to his Word, when we are seeking him together as a fellowship, the Lord can show us where the deadness is. Where the dead work is. That's why corporate prayer meetings are so vital. One of the reasons that we seek his mind together, so that this foundation is laid for us as an assembly as well. And we know where the dead works are, or even where the potential dead works are. Because there's another occasion where we were thinking about putting on a meeting. We thought it was a good idea. And as we prayed together, the Lord gave us a definite check in our spirits. This wasn't right. And we didn't put it on, even though it would have been so easy and wonderful to put it on. We couldn't do it because God gave that check. And that training to discern these things can come together as we get together and pray and seek God. God can show us, he can lead through one and another and show us what he is up to, what he wants to do. Well, one more thing on recognizing this, I think I've touched on this already, but let's look at John 5 and verse 36. This is Jesus speaking again, of course, and he says here in John 5, "But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me." You see, Jesus was given works by the Father to do. You and I and this fellowship are given works to do. They are good works. They are works where there is life, where God is present, enabling, giving grace, and where he is producing fruit. But you know what? It all testifies about Jesus. It will always testify about what he is doing. It will always lead to him being exalted and glorified. Anything else is dead. So that's another way, friends. So let's make sure that we are learning to discern, learning to recognize dead works for what they are in our lives, but also together as a fellowship, so that that foundation can truly be laid. Well, what about this repentance? Because once we recognize the dead work, we're surely not going to carry on in it, are we? Once we recognize that what we're involved in has no life in it, it furnishes no benefit to you and me or anybody else, certainly not to God, then there's only one thing we can do. We need to repent of it. We need to repent of it. Now, repentance will come as we respond to what God is doing and saying, of course. And the first thing God will show us when we are trying to recognize a dead work, when God shows us something, is there's a conviction about something. And that conviction came when the early apostles preached the gospel. There was a conviction of sin in that case. But there'll be a conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's showing us something. And we need to respond to that conviction. We need to respond to what he's showing us. I've got a verse written down here. I don't know exactly why, but we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Oh yes, I remember now. Oh yeah, this is, again, one of those passages as well known about the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, pointing out certain things that were not right amongst them. I suppose, if you like, some things that were dead, practices they were involved in that were not only sinful, but absolutely dead. What happened? Well, it says there in verse 8, "I caused you sorrow by my letter." You see, that letter was from God, really. God was penning that letter through Paul. And it's as we respond to God's word, as we hear what God is saying, God can convict us. God can show us things are not right. "I caused you sorrow by my letter. I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, but only for a while. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." There is a grief, there's a sorrow in God's heart when we are involved in dead works. Did you know that? When we are doing things outside the will of God, when he is not initiating them, there's a sorrow in his heart. He's grieved at that. That we, his children, should take it upon ourselves to step outside his will and really tell him, well, we think we know better. We can do things our way. We don't really need God to initiate anything. We'll do it. There's a sorrow in God's heart. And that sorrow he can impart to us as we respond to him, as we're in that relationship with him. So he can give something of that sorrow. We can sense something of it. And that leads to repentance. So if you like, these are things that lead us to repentance, if you like. Being in the word of God, hearing what he's saying, and then allowing him to work in our spirits, to produce something even of that grief, that repentance. Now, I know this is repentance from sin primarily here, but it extends surely to any repentance from dead works which grieve God and stop us pressing on to maturity. And then, of course, we need in repentance to exercise our will. No one is going to repent on your behalf. No one is going to repent on my behalf. I need to exercise my will regarding a dead work. This church, if we find something is dead amongst us, we need to repent of it. The church down the road is not going to do it for us. We need to repent of it. We need to turn from it. So friends, we need to exercise our will. When God shows us something, when he reveals something, when he is giving us a check about something, and we know something isn't right, and we sense that this is something that's no, there's no life in it, don't delay. Exercise your will. God the Holy Spirit will help you to do that, because he's at work in you already. He's already at work in you to show you these things, because he now wants to help you to turn around, to face the other way, to leave that dead work alone, and to choose to do the things that he has for you. So friends, it's possible by the Holy Spirit to do that. And of course, this is an ongoing thing. It isn't that at the beginning of our life we find all our dead works on day one of our salvation, put them all behind us, and then press on. Well, that will lead to more dead works, I can tell you. We need to be constantly living in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are living in communion with him, if we are seeking to go deeper into that communion with him, then I will say this, it would be a great safeguard against getting involved in dead works. Because God would be able to give us that check. Our hearing will not be dull. We will be able to hear what he's saying to our spirits. We'll be able to see what he's quickening to our hearts through his word. In our prayer meetings together, we'll be able to sense what God is doing and saying and leading. And we'll be able to avoid those dead works. But it is important to understand that the repentance that God speaks of here is ongoing. It is lifelong. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. There could still be something dead that we're involved in. We have to be careful. It's very easy to pick up something and run with it because we think it's a good idea. Or because it may have worked in the past. That's a good one, isn't it? We often do that as Christians. Something has worked in the past, this particular method. Well, let's run with it. Let's do it again. God doesn't work like that, friends. Because immediately we do that, the onus comes on us, what we are doing, not upon what God is wanting to do. And you've only got to read some marvelous examples in the Old Testament how David knew that. David constantly sought God about how he should fight the Philistines. God gave him a tremendous victory in one way. It'd have been so tempting for David said, well, that's good, that worked last time, let's try that again. And I think we are living in an era like that in the church, where we like to latch on to the latest activity. This is working over there, we're going to bring it in here, and we're going to do it because it's working. Or it worked with, for us once, so we're going to make this into one of our doctrine. It's going to be there, we're going to do it every week. That's not living, friends. There's death in that. The living that God has for us, the good living works that God has for us, is constantly looking to him. Looking to see what he wants to initiate. So let's remember, we need to go and do it. Because the moment we stop doing that, of course, the moment we stop looking to him, is the danger that we start picking up dead works. The danger that we start doing things in our own efforts, our own initiative, or we latch on to the latest idea. So it's ongoing, friends. Don't please be fooled into thinking that repentance is just for young believers. It's for every one of us. It's for every church. This repentance from dead works is vital if we are to press on with God to maturity. Well, a couple of final thoughts before we run out of time. Why is this so important? And I've mentioned some of these things already. I'm going to mention them again. If we are involved in dead works, we will probably, almost certainly, not be involved in the good works that God has for us. Because we'll be so occupied with our own dead works that we won't have time to do the good things God has for us to do. So there is one very good reason we need to repent from dead works as an assembly and as individuals. Because it stops us picking up the good things God has for us, those fruitful things, those things that will lead to God doing things in our lives and through us. There's the first thing. The second thing I've mentioned a few times already The way is open to press on to maturity when I am not involved in dead works. You see, when I'm putting aside dead works, when I'm repenting of them, God has a free hand to do in us and through us what he wants. When I'm occupied over here doing my thing, which I think may be something good, but it may be dead, then God isn't free to do what he wants to do. There's a precious liberty when we repent from God, from dead works and get involved in the things God has for us. There's an ease, there's a rest. But there's a wonderful liberty. And there's a liberty for God as well to do what he wants to do. God's hands are not tied then, if I can put it that way. And God is able to do what he wants to do in us and through us. So friends, in closing, can I encourage you, above all else, to live closely to the Lord. To seek to get nearer to him. Because that is a safe place to be. That's the place where God can show us where we are involved in dead works. And I say that to us as an assembly as well. And as we are in that place, then we'll be able to recognize them for what they are. And God will give us the grace to repent. Because that's on his heart. He wants us to repent of dead works. And as we do that, friends, we'll be able to pick up the good works that he has for us. And do the things that are pleasing to him. Well, let's pray.